Good evening. I sure appreciate your encouraging words this morning and again this evening as you came in the building. You are a people who appreciate an open Bible. So let's do that again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. A very simple statement that immediately captures our subject. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I want to tell you about something I did a couple of years ago, primarily for my personal edification, though I did share it with others. A few years ago, some of you may remember, something was trending among Christians called the 30-day Thanksgiving Challenge. And the idea was to take the 30 days of November and make a list for each day of some blessing you were thankful for. And I decided to take that challenge, and I made the list over the summer of 2016. And then when November came in 2016, I got up early in the morning, and the first thing I shared online what I had on that list, and I did that for the entire month of November. Many others did the same, and I thought at first it would be fun, and it was a trend. I got caught up in it, but it was far more when I completed the task. It has helped me keep and enhance a good frame of mind about all the benefits I've had in 71 years. And it forced me to be specific about gratitude. In my judgment, one problem we have with gratitude is we think of it and express it generically. It's very easy to say, "I'm so thankful." And then it's easy to say, "I'm thankful to God for all that I have." Take that to another level. What do you have from God? Make a list. Let me plug in to this point what we discussed this morning. It is one thing to take a dictionary off the bookshelf and define humility. It is another thing altogether to practice all that humility should produce in your thoughts and in your life and your reaction to events. It is one thing to say, "I love you." It is another entirely to engage in all the behavior the Bible says love produces. So I make a similar point this evening as we begin. It's one thing to say, "I am thankful." It is quite another to specify exactly what we are thankful for. And I tell you, there is great value in making a list of what you have. The old song said, "Count your blessings." You remember what else it said? It said, "Name them one by one." That's good for us. Let your gratitude to God be specific. Make a list for your own encouragement. Paul said, "Give thanks in all circumstances." And then he said, "This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I want to talk to you tonight from the Bible about the benefits of gratitude. And I'm not going to make a list of things that you need to be thankful for. That needs to come from you. Don't let a preacher make that list for you. You make that list from your heart with your understanding of what you need to be grateful for in your life. That needs to be from your experience, not dictated from someone else. My focus in our time together tonight will be for us to consider gratefully the benefits of gratitude. The benefits of gratitude. Number one, it helps you conquer bitterness, like envy and jealousy. It is common for regret or resentment to get stuck in somebody's head, and you can't seem to shake it. Some awful experience remains in your memory, and it hinders you in growing and being the kind of disciple you need to be. Some sin that you committed, or some sin committed against you. Perhaps some experience that you cannot explain as to cause, but it sticks in your mind, and sometimes it creates some bitterness. There are many causes of bitterness. And here's the problem. If bitterness is allowed to fester inside of you, it can, first of all, literally make you sick. It can ruin relationships. It can distract you from responsibility. And it can tempt you away from God altogether. Bitterness, we all know what it is. We know people who are bitter. Perhaps we struggle with it sometimes. The causes vary. And we tell Christians who are bitter to pray. Take it to the Lord in prayer, we say. Good advice. If you sin, God says He forgives the penitent, so be penitent. Engage in repentance and its fruit. If you were sinned against, Scripture tells you how to react to that. And then get back in the mainstream of life and embrace the joy of going to heaven and taking people with you. But here's another way to combat bitterness. Gratitude. When bitterness begins to intrude, make that list of things that have blessed you in your life from God. Fill your mind with gratitude to God for all the gifts, the blessings, the strength, the opportunities, the answers to prayer God has given. Make that list and you'll combat bitterness and envy and jealousy. Add to that list every day of things that you're thankful for. Let gratitude come into your mind in such a consistent flow. Bitterness has no room. No room for it there. Your mind is grateful to God for Jesus and what He did for you and all the blessings that you've enjoyed. I have two important passages about this, and I'm just simply going to read them. They require no extended commentary. In Ephesians chapter 4, 31 and 32, listen to this. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. That says what I'm saying. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 adds to that. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. And then in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30, there is additional instruction about keeping bitterness out of your heart. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30. So many of the Proverbs deal with attitude-related instruction and warnings over and over again. And in Proverbs 14 and verse 30, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. Gratitude can banish bitterness from your heart. That's one of the benefits of gratitude. Gratitude helps us defeat selfishness. I know you've heard preachers say many times that at the heart of all sin, there is selfishness. And I made reference to that this morning. Scripture bears that out. Sin is the assertion of self against God. Sin is our will be done rather than His will be done. Yes, at the heart of all sin, there is selfishness, and should we struggle with it, gratitude is what we ought to put in the formula to defeat selfishness. Gratitude will help us defeat it, especially if the gratitude is personally specific to your life and your blessings. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 2, mention is made of lovers of self. And in Romans 2 and verse 8, self-seeking. Do you think those people count their blessings and name them one by one? Do you think they spend quality time in prayer expressing their gratitude to God? If we want to move away from envy and bitterness and selfishness, we need to give better attention to blessings we have from God and spend more time thanking God for all that we have in such amazing abundance that we do not deserve, that we have not merited, but that we can receive from God through the activity of our faith. The passage I led with says, be thankful in all circumstances. That means even when you feel some self-interest creeping into your mind. Did you hear this? A little boy was asked by his father to pray at the table. And while the rest of the family waited, the little guy eyed every dish of food his mother had prepared. And after the examination, he bowed his head and he honestly prayed, Lord, I don't like the looks of it, but I thank you for it, and I'll eat it anyway, in Jesus' name, amen. Even when self-interest seems to begin to intrude, be thankful. Gratitude is valuable to conquer bitterness, to defeat the intrusion of selfishness, to get out of yourself and to help people. I'm quoting Robert Rottenmeier. There are three kinds of giving: grudge giving, duty giving, and thanksgiving. Grudge giving says, I hate to. Duty giving says, I ought to. Thanksgiving says, I want to. The first comes from constraint, the second from a sense of obligation, the third from fullness of heart. Nothing much is conveyed in grudge giving, since the gift without the giver is bare. Something more happens in duty giving, since there is no song in it. Thanksgiving is an open gate into the love of God. Make that list, folks. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. There are great benefits internally and externally as a disciple of Christ for gratitude. Gratitude will deepen your relationships. I want to ask you to open your Bible to Philippians. We were there just a few minutes this morning when we started. We're going to go back. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Philippians, this time in chapter 1. We were in chapter 2 this morning. The Apostle Paul had such good friends in the faith. Even when Paul lived in poverty and pain and prison, he was enriched and he was rejoiced over his good companions. He had a host of enemies outside the faith, but far more important to his mental structure, he had many good friends in the faith. And he didn't count how many enemies as opposed to how many friends, because he was grateful for those in the family of God. It was no contest. His brothers and sisters in Christ were more powerful than all of his enemies put together. And you can sure tell it in Philippians. In chapter 1, verses 3 to 6, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Always, in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. There is such a warm, soothing, peaceful tone to this passage and to the Philippian letter in general. It does not detract at all from the teachings that contain the authority of Christ that all of us need to follow. But there is a warm, soothing, peaceful tone to this of gratitude and joy. I remind you, Paul was incarcerated when he wrote this, one of the prison epistles. I wonder how many prisoners in Roman captivity wrote letters filled with joy. This was an extended thank you note from a man who was being held against his will and facing execution. There isn't any doubt, based on just this example, that gratitude will deepen your relationship with people. Unlike the grumbling and complaining that Paul forbids over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, this thankfulness will deepen your relationships with people. Gratitude will take you away from sin. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. That's where I'm headed. I'm going to meet you there in just a moment. Where the Apostle Paul describes the fall of the world into sin by making choice after choice after choice in sequence away from God. Romans 1, 18 through 22. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. I used to preach a sermon years ago when I started preaching, and it was called How to Become a Fool. And I'd be on meetings, and I'd advertise that, or I would announce beforehand, next Sunday I'm going to deliver a sermon, How to Become a Fool. Attendance always went down. So I had to reword that, but I was dealing with this text. I let Paul give the steps to become a fool, and my point was not to recommend foolishness, rather to show what leads to it and what empowers it. And one step in that pathway into moral foolishness is they did not give thanks to God. Now, that is such a simple thing. They did not give thanks to God. Such a simple thing. Other steps along that pathway to moral foolishness you expect to find in the text. Suppressing the truth. Not acknowledging God's creative work. Not honoring God. All of that you expect. But then in the middle of these steps, in sequence away from God, they didn't give thanks to God. Now, get hold of the opposite of that. Gratitude to God. And that'll help you to keep from becoming a moral fool. Gratitude helps us away from sin. Put thankfulness in your mind. Make that list. And if genuine, that can be part of your protection against falling away from God. It is part of that barrier the devil runs into when he tries to get in your head. And the devil sees this big sign that says, "The things I'm thankful for," and he can't penetrate it. Gratitude helps keep us from sin, especially when your gratitude is specific and personal to you. I'm going to the book of James now, in chapter 4. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." When I'm thankful and grateful to God consistently, it brings me closer to him. Folks, you cannot make that list of things you were thankful for. You cannot make that list sincerely and fully without getting closer to God. And that's the promise of this passage. Making that list of what I'm thankful for brings me closer to God. And as I draw near to him, he draws near to me. You want that? Make that list. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And in my consistent thankfulness to God for what I have, I draw near to him who made me and who redeemed me through Jesus Christ. James 1:17 is an excellent additional text to put into this. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." I have an illustration I'm going to give you before I conclude. Bible commentator Matthew Henry, after being robbed, made this entry in his diary: "Let me be thankful. First, because I was never robbed before. Second, because although they took my wallet, they did not take my life. Third, because although they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed." Here's a man who took an event we would label negative and unjust, and he treasure hunted within that event and came up with four reasons to be thankful. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I hope when November comes and you get to that holiday in November, I hope each of you have a very pleasant experience with your family. I also hope that each one of us before that holiday and every day after that holiday commit to consistent and specific gratitude, not just once a year. Karl Barth was once asked to sum up in a few words everything he had written in the field of theology. He wrote a lot. He was asked to sum up in a few words all that he had written in the field of theology. And this is what he wrote. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. If you've not obeyed Jesus Christ with repentance and baptism, this local church now affords you an opportunity to respond to the gospel while we stand together and as we sing.